to the Play What You Want podcast, where I talk about and review pay what you want and free role-playing game materials. It's hard to not kind of talk about a little bit for a second that I'm recording this during the time of the coronavirus. So everyone has a lot more time to, you know, review and read and play role-playing games. My personal game that I play, my normal Sunday table, has moved to Roll20. And so if you're someone who, you know, can't play in person, and so you have to play virtually, then I recommend using Roll20 out of all the virtual tabletops. I think it's the easiest one to deal with. Your GM pays $5 to get all the features, and then you're off to the races, and it takes some time to get used to. Just watch a couple YouTube videos. You could get really into its features, or you can kind of take it easy and you do the basic, really, really basic setup. But, you know, I was trying to do this podcast weekly, and it's just been kind of weirdly busy with some stuff related to the coronavirus. So I'm just trying to get back on the horse here. So what I'm reviewing today is House of Vermin, a micro chapbook RPG by Noah Patterson. Ultra simple rules for fast role playing. So this is like a fold, like you chapbook. So you a couple pages that you fold together. It's got like a stock art on the front with a spider and a lady who's a spider looking lady. I don't know if that's supposed to be like the a villain or who you are or whatever. So this is a solo role-playing game, or you could play two people. Its layout in PDF is weird because it's in chapbook style. So like page one is not where you expect it. Page two is not where you expect it. When you do a chapbook style in PDF, you should number the pages so that when you're looking at it in PDF, you know what page you're actually looking at. It is a lot more problematic when it's chapbook style module, because then you're really jumping around to look at stuff. I've done that. Why don't you just print it up? Well, I didn't. So, but the steps to this game are numbered. So like step one, what is the game? Step two, what do you need? Step three, how do you roll? Step four, characters, you know, weapons, generating rooms, room types, doorways. So this is a 2 6-sided die system, and it recommends that you actually just use graph paper to generate some of this stuff. You always roll a d6, trying to score equal to or lower than your stat. So it's a roll under system. And if you're proficient with it, so if you have like a skill for it, for what you're trying to do, you roll 2 dice and take the better result of the two. A 1 always succeeds, a 6 always fails, and then it mentions like what a 1d3 is. So you have 4 statistics: strength, dex, wits, charisma. You assign 7 points between them. Nothing can be lower than 1 or higher than 4. There's classes, and that gives you proficiency in a stat. In one of the stats, so fighters is strength, rangers is dex, wizards is wisdom, bards is charisma. And then you can get a race, which will give you a +1 to one of the 4 stats. So there's four races: human, halflings, dwarves, elves. The funny thing is halflings get the plus to dex, so that would make them the better ranger than the elf, who gets a plus to charisma. So that's kind of weird. I would actually kind of reorder those stats. Like humans should get the plus to wisdom, dwarves should get the plus to strength, halflings plus to charisma, elves plus to dex. That's what makes more sense to me. And then your health is your strength plus your dex plus 20 or plus 10 for a challenge. Then you have a will, which is like a mental hit points, which I like that. I've always liked that idea where you have hit points and mental hit points and they're separate. I actually do like that idea. Not a lot of games do that. So then you can roll 2d6 to determine how much money you have, and then you can buy some gear. There's some health, like it's armor and weapons, and the armor gives you plus to hit points, and the blessed armor gives you plus to hit points and plus to will. There's a magic cap that gives plus to will. Weapons do damage, so it's not like your damage is purely derived from your attack roll. It's actually damage. Weapons have damage, like you roll 1d6 or 1d6 plus 1 for a crossbow or, you know, something like that. And then there's some magical items like holy water, which will heal your will, and a miracle, which will full heal your health and wisdom. And then it goes into how to generate rooms. And you begin by choosing a random square in the graph paper. For your first room, you roll a d6. The number rolled is the number of squares in the room. It can be drawn in any shape or form as long as they're orthogonally connected. There we go, I can say it. And then next you roll a d3, and that's the number of doors in the room, and tells you to draw small rectangles to, you know, indicate the doors, kind of classic way to draw doors. I've always drawn doors this way. I draw a rectangle over the line of a wall. I've always done it that way. I don't think I invented that. I think I saw somebody else doing it. It's one of those like cultural viruses where everybody I know does it that way. I do windows different though. I draw like a bubble to indicate that it's a window instead of a square. And not everybody does that. So each room has a type. At that point, you roll a d6, and it could be dirt, wood, bones, crevices, webs, nests, and then those all have like bonuses to the rolls, which would make the rolls worse because you want to roll under. So like a wood floor gives plus one to dex rolls because the floor is rotting. So that's bad. It's a deterrent or a detriment. And then you will choose one door and move through it into the next room, and then roll a d6 to determine the door type. And so different doors take different, like there could be locked, they could be trapped, and there's little mechanics like a trap. You must make a wisdom check to disarm and move. If you fail, take a d3 damage, but you still move. Monsters. After entering a room, roll to generate the monsters in the room. Roll once for the monster type and a second time for the number of that monster. Each monster has a max number of that type that can appear in a room, so you can't have a bunch of a really powerful monster. Each monster will have there's a little table, and it's like the max number of them, how much health damage hit points they have, how much wisdom hit points they have, and then they have a life force score. And then to fight a monster, you make a bravery check. If you pass, you gain a will, which is interesting. So you gain a will point back. If you fail, you lose a will, according to the monster's W damage. So life force, I guess, is hit points. I got that wrong. So there's H damage, W damage. That's on the chart. So they do 1 damage or 1d3 and all the way up to 1d6. If your will is 0, all rolls take a negative plus 1 modifier. Ranged attacks. If the room is 4 squares or larger, you may make a ranged attack. Roll a dex check. If you succeed, apply weapon damage to the monster's life force. So life force is hit points. Melee. You must now make a melee attack. So these are like in order of what you can do. Then you must now make a melee attack using a strength check. If you succeed, apply the weapon's damage. If you fail, roll the monster's H damage and apply it. So the monsters never attack. You always make a check, and if you fail the check, then it hits you. And then you just repeat that until all the monsters are dead. Then you roll a d6 for treasure. You can earn gold, and you can possibly earn nothing. And then there's the boss, the Spider Queen, and it will not appear until you've encountered all other monsters at least once. And when you roll a d6 for the monster, if you roll the Spider Queen, you just re-roll something else until you've met the other 5 monsters. And then when you defeat it, the game ends. And then leveling up, in between games, you may spend 100 gold, so there's no experience, it's just money, to add plus 1 to a stat, and no stat can be higher than 5. You can also buy equipment. You can only have one melee weapon, a ranged weapon at a time. And then it talks about how to assemble the book. It has a little character sheet, which is like very stylized and has the cover art on it. And then it goes into some gameplay clarifications. Natural rolls of 1 always succeed, despite die modifiers from runes or loss of will. It says play multiple times to make your character stronger. You can use the character in this chapbook RPG and other micro chapbook RPGs. interchange weapons and monsters with other microchat book RPGs. You can play, it says you can play traditional with one person acting as a GM, and then the GM can, it says GM can pre-build the cave beforehand. They can add treasure that's static. It says the GM may choose to run the game in a more roleplay, in quotes, style with added story elements, non-player characters, quest goals, etc. It's like, okay, kind of, yeah, add a story. Well, of course. This way, the GM can use wisdom for reading, writing, and intelligence-based roles. The GM can also use charisma for all social-based roles with NPCs, enemies, and more. You could try playing the game on a traditional grid game mat with miniatures, which doesn't make sense, and I'll go more into that. Each miniature can move one square at a time, orthogonally, as part of the melee attack phase. Ranged attacks may be made at a distance. Melee attacks may be made with while adjacent. Come up with your own bonus rolls. So there's almost no reason if you go. Here's the thing. It's not, it just a little bit bugs me when a rule is implied and not spelled out. Just a little bit. Because if you look at how they're saying the order of fighting, movement doesn't even matter, right? Because it's just in order of whatever order you really want to pick of the monsters. So there's no like, oh, I killed this one, but that one's over there, so I can make it. Like, it doesn't, you just do it in order. It just says, when you first walk in the room, you can make a ranged attack, and then everything else is going to be melee after that, basically. Talking about there being movement would mean that, you know, let's say you're in a big enough room, and the monsters are in different distances from you, and every miniature moves one square, so that means you could just kite by moving 5 foot and ranged attacking until one of them got close to you, then you'd have to melee it. And if one of them was still a square away after that one was dead, you could range that one before it moved up and you can try to move back, whatever. But it doesn't talk about that. It doesn't talk about, you know, how the movement would work really. I mean, it says you can move one square, but by going by how the combat works, you don't do that. Does that make sense? Like, the combat has very like static, this order, whatever. And then this by going by these rules, it doesn't matter that you can move. Like, it just doesn't matter because you fight them in order, whether they're close to you or far away. So it doesn't matter that you can move around inside the room at all by going by the combat rules. So it implies that you could kite and you could move away from monsters and do a ranged attack and stuff like that. It's just implied. So, yeah, I don't like it. I like the chat book style, actually. I like some things about it. I like the way it looks. It stays consistent-ish with its theme, where it's like House of Vermin has a big spider on the cover, and then all the bad guys are, for the most part, related. It's cockroach nest, spider swarm, rat's nest, winged spider, giant spider, spider queen, right? So you're just fighting spiders. And that, yeah, it stays consistent. And there's no other fluff to the book. There's the art, and there's the monsters you're fighting, and that's all, and you're in a cave. That's really the only thing. And you would think that you would add a poison element to this, a venom element where spiders can poison you. So that just isn't there, and it just seems kind of obvious. And I think probably if you were going to add the movement, you should add a lighting element to it. I don't think it would be that hard to do. You're in a cave, there's spiders, it should be dark. It makes sense. Yeah, that's House of Vermin by Noah Patterson. You know, it's fine if you're stuck and want to do a solo RPG thing, you could do this. I wouldn't see myself playing this more than once, if at all. I think there's probably better ones out there, but if this is your aesthetic, then, you know, more power to you. So anyway, that has been a review of House of Vermin. Have a good session. All right, it's time for a bonus free or pay what you want comic book review. And I got this one from DriveThruRPG. Or DriveThruComics, I should say. But it's Karen LaCourt Bounty Hunter by Will Lil Comics. And this is a like kind of pulpy post-apocalyptic comic book. The cover is not bad. It's got a chick with a big gun, and there's some like monster looking dudes stomping a cop to death who looks like an 80s cyberpunk cop, kind of. And so it's got that gritty cyberpunk look on the cover. The book itself, the interiors are black and white, which is not always bad. So we've got this futuristic, it's 2035, Detroit, Michigan. And we got this bounty hunter who's got narration going on. And art's not horrible. The hands and feet are weirdly proportioned, but it's not that bad. So the conceit of this book is funny because you have this bounty hunter in this world of cosplay gone wrong. It's this bounty hunter going after a cosplayer of. So there's this world of cosplayers who have genetically modified themselves into the characters they like. And she like immediately gets in a street fight. She's a bounty hunter. She's been hired to find this person. She gets in a street fight immediately with all these characters. So there's one guy who's drawn. He looks like the guy from the first Dark Souls. There's a werewolf. There's like an elf with a staff. There's these two little munchkin guys. Like, I'm not sure some of the characters' sources as far as, you know, who they're supposed to be cosplaying. And so, but for some reason, cosplayers are evil thugs. And the art in the fight is actually done pretty well, other than like proportions being a little weird sometimes, with especially when related to feet. There's some good action art going on. Like, she punches two people at once, sort of, or like she punches in the same frame. She's punching two people, and it shows like a motion line how she punched this person in the face, punched this person in the face. That's actually done pretty well. A lot of these free comic books I've read do not story tell with the art this well. So I was impressed with that. She's hired by a CEO of a company who also runs a clandestine organization that deals in special problem solving when all legitimate options have failed. Counterterrorism, assassinations, digital warfare, and bounty hunters. So she's being followed around. The main character, Karen LaCourt, is being followed around a little bit by these cosplayers, and she goes to a cosplayer bar. And the art, the inside of the bar has weird perspective. It looks like it's uphill inside. And then there's a guy dressed like a tiger. There's a lot of Star Wars looking characters, but there's also a guy with a pumpkin head. I don't know, you know, obviously, like I said, they're all cosplaying. And then you got a super buff guy comes in. And there's some weird dialogue here where the super buff guy smashes her table at the bar and says, "I saw you outside. You fight well, but I fight better. Try to take me, little girl." And she says, "Okay, man child," in quotes, "if you say so. Once I have beaten you down like a dog, you'll remember my name," but we don't know their name. The super buff. am I gonna be a buff chick? I don't know. Like, but he's a man child. And then she just punches this guy in the face and knocks him out. And then the person she was looking for in the bar runs, and there's a lot of panels of her chasing this person up a building, some thought balloons, and then the vampire chick she's chasing says something in a weird language, and she jumps off the roof. And then our protagonist runs down there, doesn't run down there, walks down there. And she goes down to collect the body, and she says, strange, there's no blood, not even a trickle. And then she rolls the body over, and she now has a weird alien-looking face. Which is maybe to be continued, question mark, after that. I don't know what I'm supposed to understand about that. Or what I'm supposed to get out of that. I have no idea. Then it has a bunch of advertisements, color advertisements at the end for Fun Adventure Comics from Will Lil Comics, which has all these different, it looks all the same artist who drew this book for the most part. Some of these actually look kind of cool. Mark the Gargoyle, there's a Punisher looking guy, Brother Bones, Ashman. I don't know if these were concepts. I don't know if these are actually, I haven't even gone to their website, WL Comics, to see. And then there's some stuff about some sketchbooks, advertisements, all in color. Not bad. So that is the Strange and Confusing Karen LaCourte Bounty Hunter by Will Lil Comics. I think we've got some who drew what. Let's see here. Because this does have, in the beginning of the book, it does have one of those panels, like Marvel and DC used to do, where you have like one big, like after one or two pages, you have like an introductory page that's a full page spread of action, and it has like the name of the title of this story, which is a Chit Town story. And the writer is Jonathan A. Gilbert, artist Lee Melton, and letterer Warren Montgomery. All right. Like I said before, you know, I don't have any comic books. I can't draw. So if this is still going, and if they, you know, this worked out for them, then more power to them. There's some stuff about this I liked. I thought that some of the action was well thought out. Some of the storytelling with the action was well thought out. And there were moments earlier in the book where the art wasn't too bad, and it started to suffer as it went on. So, all right. Well, as always, have a good session.